Sci-fi. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a Starburns Audio Produced podcast. One guest. Fuck. God damn it. I already fucked it up. One believer, one skeptic, and one guest. Go to our Patreon, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi, and get access to two bonus episodes a week. If you don't have any money and want to support us, regardless, just leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and we'll read it on the air. There's a Discord. You can try and find that. I don't know. We've got a bunch of failed. I'm sure there's like Instagram accounts and stuff that we just don't check. So. Yeah, we're out there.
We're out there. I imagine all of you Discord supporters are so fed up with us. You're like talking to yourselves, and we're not jumping in enough. I apologize. We'll get there. I got this month off. I'm going to jump into Discord.
It's not like I would add anything to their conversations about like aliens with dicks or whatever the fuck.
I know. What are you going to say, that you don't believe in what they're talking about?
Yeah, no, this is all fake. I just hop in every topic. This is fake. Why are you guys talking about this? Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF, our good friend, David Geis. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. I forgot to ask how you wanted to be introduced. I know that you are working for, is it a Disney Channel show?
Yeah, I'm editing. I'm the animatics editor for a Disney Channel show called Big City Creek.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What are you guys, season three?
Season three, yeah. That's all my credentials right now, you know? Anything else awesome. You'll go back 5 years.
And it's a great fucking show.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you. You're a handsome boy.
Well, that's debatable. But the show's good, I'll say.
I don't know, is it? I think you're a pretty handsome boy.
Everyone always says you got the best eyes. You got a nice
gorgeous eyes.
Mustache with the
nice head of hair.
Your haircut's doing pretty good.
Oh, thanks. I didn't wash it today.
You don't have to wash your hair every day. It's bad for it.
I'm using the quarantine to not wash my hair anymore to see how that works.
Yeah. It's getting its essential oils replenished. It's natural oils that keep it soft and I don't know anything about hair. I've been bald since I was fucking 22. I feel like I manifested me being bald. Like I wasn't really. I just started shaving my head and then I just kind of got bald. And I think I was just always like, I'll probably be bald. I'll just shave my head and people will always just know me to look this way.
Yeah, I'm gonna carve the male pattern baldness marks into my head and just accept
that way. Yeah, that way no one will be disappointed in 20 years when I still look the same.
I feel like I did the same thing. It just took me longer because I'm like, I've always been like, you know, my grandpa was bald, and so I was always like, okay, all guys go bald. I'm going to go bald. And then I didn't for so long. I'm like, oh, cool. I got a thick, it's not thick hair, but now I've got this bald spot that I see on camera every day. And every time I see it, I'm like, that's fucking me. Yeah. Like I'm this weird old guy that wears pink. Like
The bald spot thing is weird. You don't wear a hat at work.
Sometimes I do. Most of the times I do wear a hat, but I don't every now and then to be like, because my hair is pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to keep your coworkers in good spirits by looking at your funny hair.
I remember being like, you know, back in the mid 2000s, like 2005, watching The Daily Show, and Rob Corddry would come on. And Rob Corddry was going bald, but he had this like tuft of hair out up front.
Yeah,
like he was all bald, really, but weird, he just had like this like weird tuft of hair.
It was like an island,
so goofy looking. And I see like that's what, like exactly what's happening to me is like I'm going bald right here, but I have like a tuft of hair up front. I feel it's just poetic justice for me thinking that it was weird that Rob Corddry had such a weird tuft of hair that now it's happening to me.
Well, you can get hair transplants. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, one day. I don't know.
Joel McHale, he would be bald if he didn't get hair transplants. LeBron James.
And they look better now. Hashtag Travolta.
I don't know. Travolta looks kind of weird as a ball. He should have done something.
I agree with you, but his transplants looked really weird. It was like sharp lines, like Chuck Norris.
Did he get? Oh, I didn't know that he got transplants.
Oh, I don't know if I've seen him with transplants.
I'm pretty sure he had them, and they looked weird, and like that was the factor to go like, oh, I could go bald. I was on, you know, he was on our show when he announced that he was going, that he decided to go bald. So like it was weird to watch him say that, and I was like, he was like, my family tells me I look good, and I'm like, no one here agrees with that.
I decided about 30 years ago to go bald and then keep it a secret until today when I'm finally admitting it. Like, that's why he looks weird. If he just would have gone bald like Woody Harrelson, no one would think it's weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, what the fuck? Why are we talking about that? Guys, you've been on the show before. How into conspiracy theories are you?
I think they're very fun, but I don't believe in them. I don't believe in 95% of them, but I think the world's a little boring if you don't have
right
every once in a while.
Like, yeah,
the
it's fun.
Reality of things is kind of dull, you know?
Yeah. That should be that's the basis of our show. We like to have fun with conspiracy theories. If you want legit conspiracy theory info, fucking go find a different podcast. It's all made up, you guys.
Your friends talking about conspiracies and you're just listening in on it. Right,
we're the cool kids at the table next to you in high school, and you're not invited to talk, but you can listen.
We talk about a conspiracy theory, and then 3 months later, it's on the X-Files, and we're like, yeah, we were talking about that.
Yeah, we sorry, X-Files, that's old news. okay, well, we got this WoW scale. You've taken it before. Do you remember what your WoW scale score was?
I don't remember what the criteria was to do.
Well, let's redo it. The WoW scale stands for Waiter Willie. It's a 5-question quiz. And at the end, I will grade you anywhere between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. Are you ready to get weighed on the WoW scale?
Yes.
WoW scale.
First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes. Possibly and possibly.
Okay, explain the possiblys.
So I believe in aliens. I think they exist. I think the universe is so gigantic and expansive that there's no way to really discount them, but I can't think of the name of the thing of like there's no intelligent life because they would have gone to Earth at this point.
It's the
I can't remember his name. So there's that theory, but I don't necessarily believe that's true. I just think that there's limits to physics and technology is limited, you know, like.
Well, let's dive in.
I don't think there's any, like,
the Fermi, paradox is what you're talking about.
Yes. The Fermi paradox. Yeah. So I sort of believe in the Fermi paradox, but I don't, because I think, you know, I think that the universe is too expansive that, like, the Fermi paradox almost doesn't make sense, because it would take hundreds of thousands of years maybe to visit Earth to the closest planet that has life. So, like, how does that even make sense? you know, like.
I think that's a shitty, I wouldn't even really call it a paradox. That's just like, we could be in the middle of the time where they're trying to figure it out. You know, that's not a paradox.
It's like a conclusive thing that can't have a conclusion. It's like, obviously they haven't been here.
So they can't exist, but it's also like, well, that's pretty arrogant. Like, why would they come here? And
also, like, aren't paradoxes supposed to be kind of like mental exercises with like with the cat or whatever? Like, is the cat really dead or is he alive? He's both things because you don't know. Like,
paradoxes used to scare the shit out of me because mostly because of the movie Millennium. Have you seen that with who's the guy? Wait, hold on. I can't think of his name. He was a singer, country singer also, but he was an old school actor. We'll get this real quick. What's the Billy name of... He's like Sam Elliott before Sam Elliott from the 80s.
Hank Williams?
No, more actor than singer.
Oh, I don't know.
Willie Nelson. George, the country cowboy.
Chris Christopherson. Did you know Chris Christopherson was Sam Elliott before Sam Elliott was?
Oh, I know Chris Christopherson.
He's got albums out there. He was a hot like actor that is like, you know, deep voice doesn't say much.
Oh, so he has a deep voice.
He did. He wrote me and Nikki.
He did.
The Janis Joplin song.
Me and Bobby McGee? Holy shit.
Yeah, he wrote that. Like, he had a little affair with...
he was in this movie. Wow, dude. Wow, I didn't know that. He was in this movie called Millennium where if a plane was going to crash, they would go back and... They were from the future and they were running out of people. So they'd go back in time and take people that died in plane crashes and bring them to the future. It's a great fucking movie.
Oh, that's cool.
But paradoxes ruined the future, and so I was always afraid of paradoxes. And like as I've evolved, I don't want to say evolved, as I've grown older, I'm like, well, paradoxes have arrived from people not being able to comprehend what the reality is. I don't believe in paradoxes. Grandfather paradox. It's
the limits of our paradox,
it's what's that?
Like everything about time travel is a paradox. Like,
yeah.
Like if you like, I know there's different beliefs in time travel, but my belief in time travel is that everything that if someone from the future time travels, then their imprint on society has already happened and there's no way that it could. Because it's non-linear, so like, it's non-linear. So like, if a spaceman from 500 years from now goes back in time, then the things that he already did have already happened, so he can't like change or do anything because what he's done,
whatever his loop is, was already done,
right.
But paradoxes, so
there's no like you could never go back in time and have sex with your grandmother, because if you went back in time to have sex with your grandmother, that would have already happened. You know, like it's all, I don't want to say predetermined, but it's all have already happened, you know.
But isn't that the paradox?
Well, but he's saying that the paradox can't exist because since it happened, something else is the reason for. So that actually wasn't your grandpa. If you went back in time and killed your grandpa, then your grandpa was already dead, and that's not your real grandpa. Right?
Well, he never
right.
said I mean, anything just, about murder. He said he wanted to fuck his grandma.
Right. Okay. I'll say fuck my grandma, kill my grandpa. It's Oedipal. It's.
marry my grand, whatever.
Yes, and marry my granddaughter, who's my mom. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, so in that world, you're gonna marry your daughter?
I don't know. If I was to go back in time, I would skip as far away as I can from my family. So.
Right.
Well, Well, but that, so that paradox is stupid because paradoxes are, they literally can't exist, right? That's the whole thing. The Schrodinger's cat thing, it can't exist. It stops once you open the box. The only paradox is before you open the box. So
right,
we are before you open the box when it comes to aliens in this paradox that you guys are talking about.
Right.
Where they just aren't here yet.
That being said, it's like if aliens visited, they might have, but who knows? You know.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that aliens helped build the pyramids?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Because I wanna give humanity its due, you know?
Yeah, USA, right? USA.
Yeah. Yeah, USA. USA built the pyramids.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, that is a great like hashtag or something, like movement to build. Like, dude, fucking the right. Pyramids would not be the pyramids if not for America. We discovered them.
Right.
It was probably an American.
Yeah.
We built the pyramids and then we came to America and became Americans. Okay.
We discovered the pyramids. We discovered King Tut.
Before the British discovered the pyramids, before they
invaded. Because we're British, so that makes them Americans. So Americans have done everything great, and no one else. If you're still living in Europe, you're a dinosaur now. America's the future.
Why didn't you move to the cool town?
Yeah,
yeah, you should have moved. What, to the
were cool you not table. Oppressed in your hometown? Could you not?
What did you have a good life?
Celebrate the religion that you wanted to, that was all Puritan in Europe.
That makes you a bad guy. If you're still in Europe, you're historically a bad guy. question number 1%. 2. Do you believe in ghosts?
I believe in the manifestation of energy in a certain part, whether it's ghosts or not.
You think,
I don't know.
You think a ghost made me bald?
I do. I think.
Hey, I forget. Did you live in that Chris Canty house with the ghost?
No.
Oh, okay.
I've never lived with Chris Canty, but I know he's got some ghosts.
Do you have any ghost stories?
Is there a giant delay, or did you forget if you'd ever lived with Chris Canty? Oh, my God. No,
I've not lived with Chris Canty, but I didn't know if I had had like a... I was trying to remember what his ghost story was. I actually haven't had any encounters with ghosts. The closest thing that I had was the house that I lived in Tallahassee for college. I had an unusual amount of night terrors that I've never had since living in that house. And that, you know, that might have been the stress of being in college, but I had so many night terrors. But I have my roommates at that place have ghost stories from the house that I lived in.
Wow,
that's weird.
Two of my roommates in the house that I had night terrors in, both. Were at home alone and heard their voices being called, thinking that it was it was one of us in the house. But when they went to look around, no one was there. So much so that I was like at a party and had to come home to hang out with one of my roommates because he thought that someone had called his voice. So he was like, he was so freaked out that that I had to come home and hang out with him for a while.
I think he was probably just upset that you didn't invite him to the party.
What's going to get him to come home?
How am I going to ruin my friend's night? Oh, ghosts. That's the only thing that'll do it.
All right. Question number 3. Do you believe in Bigfoot?
Nah, not really. I think we would have seen him by now. There might have been a Bigfoot, but I think we would have seen them by now.
What about the video of Bigfoot? You don't believe that's Bigfoot?
No, I think that was a kind of in the costume. I think a lot of those things from the 50s and 60s are just people.
But his arms were different than the man.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's really true. Hard to turn your arms inward and then flail them like you're a Bigfoot. It's impossible to do. I've never worn a costume where I looked anything other than a human.
We would have found like one dead Bigfoot by now, just like on the side of the road getting hit by
a car. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I do agree with that, but I'm also like, I've never seen a mountain lion skeleton, but they've been found.
Yeah.
Question number four. Do you believe in psychics? You seem kind of new agey. It feels like maybe you would go to a psychic at some point and be like, what's up with my love life?
I've been to psychics, but I don't believe in psychics. I think psychics are very good. I've actually gone to psychics to ask about my love life many times.
Can you hide your face that you don't believe them? Like if they say something weird.
I think I do the condescending thing where I don't think that I'm being condescending, but I'm being condescending. It's like, oh yeah, yeah, that makes sense. But like, so
what did the most recent psychic tell you about your love life?
I don't know. It's pre-COVID and none of that came true.
What was it?
I don't know. I don't remember. It was like, oh, yeah, I don't know.
It was,
I would
like,
love it if some love. Like random love psychic like tipped someone off about like 2 years of COVID. Well, you know, after, you know, like you're going to be after in your, get used to looking at yourself while you're dating somebody. What do you mean? Oh!
It would be fun to do a movie where psychics are real and there's one guy who just doesn't believe in psychics so much that every time he goes to a psychic and they're like, you're going to win $1 million, he just like refuses to play the lottery to like prove them wrong.
But then you're gonna find he has the love to of end your up life. Winning $1 million somehow. Like someone gives him a lottery ticket and it's $1 million. So he has to win it, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Or he spouts off the numbers and the numbers would have won, but he didn't play them.
Yeah, it's just about a guy ruining his life because he refuses to believe in the psychic. And the psychic is God.
Yeah, George Burns.
Question number five.
Do you believe God is George Burns or Alanis Morissette?
I like the George Burns one better because he was also the devil. That was good. Go on.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Alanis Morissette just because Bitter Little Pill is better than anything that George Burns ever did.
That's right. You know what? I agree with that.
Yeah, that's a good album.
Okay, question five. Do you believe in, or are you superstitious?
No, I'm not. I wish I had an example where I was, but I'm
not. Not at all. Did you play sports growing up?
Yes. But I was bad at sports, so I didn't give a shit. I played everything. I played baseball, football, and basketball.
Then you didn't buy into, did you jump over the first baseline when you were taking the field?
Yeah. What were your positions? What'd you play?
Baseball. I got awarded for best utility player, which means I wasn't good at any position, so they just put me anywhere when someone was feeling tired. Basketball. I don't remember the positions that well, but they definitely wanted me for rebounding because I was tall. And in football, I was tight end. And my eighth grade year, I scored the most touchdowns on my team.
Oh, fucking cool, man.
Two. We were not good. We were a very bad team.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're like a you're a zero or one.
I wanna believe in all this stuff. I definitely think there's aliens. I just don't know.
Yeah, listen, we're not in the game world. Of tearing these things down.
Right.
We're just here to talk about them. So it doesn't matter. Yeah. We're going to be very open-minded about this. I guess my job is kind of to tear them down, but not really. I don't know. I just think logically about stuff.
Yeah.
I'm looking up the tallest baseball players, and the tallest MLB baseball player was a pitcher. Pitchers are Randy Johnson? So you should have been. No, it's a guy named John Rauch. 6'11".
Oh, wow.
I would guess it's Roche.
All right. Well, thanks for making me look like an idiot.
Nah, just because you got to take the cool version.
Willie, what are we talking about?
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, the Library of Alexandria, where science came of age for all of humanity. It burned down. Who burned it down? And why? Find out tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
I don't know anything about this except for I play like Civilization games, and one of the wonders is the Library of Alexandria, and it gives me like a lot of science boosts.
Yeah, it's great. And I would say that like I probably bring it up all the time. I bring it up a lot because I'm like, here we have an ancient history of ancient history. And so yeah. I always say whatever our history is just can't be right because this library existed and we don't know anything about it.
I completely agree. I think it's such a tragedy that it either burned or everything was lost to time, and that we just don't have it anymore. You know,
without knowing anything about this topic, I would bet that whoever the bad guys were in this time period burnt it down because they were like the losers of all the wars. And they're like, fuck, these guys they're like documenting all of our fucking losses. So let's burn it down. And then we'll say that we're the coolest, and then people will believe it.
From what I've read and heard.
Well, yeah, but here, let me tee you up on this because right. Okay. I don't know anything about it. You watched the documentary, you read a little bit. Can you just fill us in, David Geis, on sort of what the Library of Alexandria was or is, or I guess was, it's always was.
It was, yeah. I mean, the Library of Alexandria was just, it was founded by Alexander the Great, and kind of really put into effect and really made by Ptolemy after he died, the first pharaoh of the Greek line of Egyptian pharaohs. But it was just a massive library of all the ancient works that the Greeks just accumulated and stored in Alexandria, and was also a place of scientific discovery and scientific method and scientific sorry, I'm a little drunk. So,
well, yeah, no, but like just to yes and you, like this was the first true research institute of the world.
Right. It was like the biggest university you could imagine in the ancient world.
They, the thing is Alexander wanted an empire of knowledge, and they've never before this. Before him, this could never have been accomplished. And so he had, visions of grandeur, and they came to fruition. You know, he didn't get to see the construction of it, but they did it.
Yeah. He died right before it was constructed, right?
Dates to me are weird. But yes.
But it was his vision. It was his vision. Like it was.
This was 283 BC is when it was finished.
Yeah. And, it's like it's the ancient world's internet. You know, it's every
piece
of knowledge at the fingertips of whoever went.
The police of this town would raid any incoming ship because this was a giant city, a giant modern city that had ports, different religions in the city. They would raid boats, look for books, and they would take the books and copy them and then give them back. There's some people that say they gave back the originals, or some people that say they gave back copies, but they were collecting every book ever made. They would send people out around the world looking for collections, looking for books. They'd bring them back, copy them, and they wanted one place that had the history and knowledge of the world.
Yeah.
And they say that there was over a million books there. BC.
Yeah. That was like,
crazy.
Like all the books BC, you know, that was like 300 years BC, you know?
All right, well, let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll get into who and why burned it down, because this is a scandalous topic. I mean, this is Macedonia, right? They're, like, I don't think there was a lot of tumultuous... I could be very wrong about this.
It definitely wasn't the Greeks. This the library existed for like 600 years.
So this is now we're jumping up to like almost 1000 BC or wait, how does it work? It goes the other way?
No, it's like 300 AD, I think.
Right. Finally. Okay. Math is not my strong suit. I didn't study at the Library of Alexandria. So we'll be back talking about who burnt it down with our good friend David Geis after this.
Really Bad Movies, in association with Craig's Fine Grocery Stores, presents A Normal Family.
Billy, catch the ball. Billy, catch it. I'm going to throw it. Billy.
A possessed knife.
Hey, Billy, where'd you get that?
Why?
Well, because Mom wanted to cut some ham that she just cooked, and she doesn't have a knife. She's looking for one. Bring that to Mom.
This knife turns anyone that touches it into a cold-blooded killer.
Mom? What's wrong? The ham's over there. Mom? Mom? Mom?
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath. You don't need to see the other three to enjoy the thrills and the kills and the chills.
I wish Mommy didn't kill Billy. He was cool.
The knife. It has me. It has control of me.
What are you talking about, Greg? What are you doing?
Greg, put that thing down, man. That's a serious weapon. Greg!
Everyone killed everyone. Everyone did it. I don't get it. Wait. Maybe I do.
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi. We're talking to our friend David Geis about the Library of Alexandria. We've done the legwork. Now let's find out who burnt it down. I think it was... the Jews. I'm just joking. I don't think it was the Jews. Just the funniest thing that I could come up with off the top of my head. I love the Jewish people. I'm good friends with them all.
But they're like the eight best of them Jews. And I'm
very good friends with them.
All right, so Willie, They're all that special Jew kind. What are they called? Yeah. Anna something.
I don't know. You know what I'm saying.
All right, take two.
You know, there's that special Jew or whatever. God damn it. I'm digging know my hole here.
Here we have the birth of science, basically. People that worked here, there was Euclid, who was like a champion for geometry. Dionysus, who basically created nouns and verbs. You got I didn't write this down good enough. Herophilus, that's not right. Somebody who identified like that the brain was the seat of intelligence, not the heart.
Say it so that I can pronounce it in a cooler way and make you look stupid.
Wait,
did you say Dionysus?
Oh, it's Herophilus. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
That's not the god?
Yeah.
Damn.
Remember, he would always go around.
Was that someone that
Dionysus.
Was...
Dionysus.
I don't know Dionysus.
Sorry, that's a reference.
Well, I know Dionysus is the Greek god of wine.
You've never heard Dionysus?
Or parting. Right.
Oh.
I'm sure he was named after him. Yeah. Archimedes, the greatest mechanical genius before Da Vinci. Ptolemy, of course, astronomy and astrology, but astronomy to give the credit to him. Hypatia.
Yeah. Lots of smart people. Why are you reading these?
Just to, if you've heard any of these names, these people actually were here. These were right, the people we, working
you
on.
You should have brought those up before the break. We already laid the pipes, man.
Oh, well, I know. Like, you're the one, though, that said that we laid the pipes. I'm like, no, I'm still laying pipe.
Listen, you guys can lay pipe.
Maybe we should coordinate this a little bit better. I thought we were going to get into the good shit. You're just listing names. I can't physically lay pipe all night.
Okay. So, some of the there are accounts of things that existed within this library that we've never seen, right? So, like one of them is there was a 3-volume history of the world written by a Babylonian priest named Berossus, and in volume one he laid out the creation of the world, like the history from the creation of the world until the flood. And he and this has been accounted that timeline existed for 432,000 years, which was 100 times older than the Old Testament. But just saying that like here's some ancient stuff that existed in here that like we heard about, but we just never saw. There was a
Sophocles, yeah.
Sophocles? Is it so? Anyways, somebody who wrote some. Yeah, Sophocles. Basically, there were like 123 of his plays in this library, and only 7 of them survived, one of them being Oedipus Rex. So, like, here you have this genius who we only have 7 of his plays. There were like over 100 in this library.
But each explored a different position, which is pretty hot.
You're right. I know. Like what? One of them was about looking weird.
The guy was like the Kevin Smith of fucking your mom. Like he just kept going back to that well.
And so, Aristotle argued that there were 2 types of people in the world. There were Greeks. And they were barbarians. And so the
very
problem with
of Aristotle.
Right, exactly. And so the guy that was in charge of, he was the director of the library. I wrote too fast. Aristosthenes, I think. And anyways, he criticized Aristotle being like, hey, man, I don't know, basically like, it's, you know, it's. This guy calculated the size of the Earth and like also mapped it and was just like, hey, Aristotle, like,
map it.
You're kind of being basically racist.
Calculate size you know, within like 200 miles.
Something so ridiculous, and this is over 2,000 years ago. Yeah, he calculated the size of the Earth very accurately, mapped it really well, and so some of the things that they like had to rediscover through time. There was somebody who wrote a book that was that. If I can find it, if not, my fringe memory was there's somebody who. Was basically saying 2,000 years ago that the Earth was a planet revolving around the sun. So here you have all these great minds all in here in this library, but in this city, which was very, it was a metropolis.
That's like the finger painting of science. Like that's like, there's so many fucking things to discover when you're in that era that like everything is new and you're just like, I get a,
like you didn't even have to be out. That good. You
I'll just use math discover to that, figure like, this thing out that no one's figured out.
Like a cell existed and you're like, oh yeah, if I just look.
Yeah.
But the problem.
Right. Yeah. I'll just watch this fire and I'll take away certain elements of fire and then I'll discover that fire is oxygen is a fuel for fire and now I'm a genius.
So basically,
I could have been to move forward years ago.
Fuck all you guys. You fucking dumb. You dumb shits.
Yeah. Yeah. All you had to do. Was not to put this quote into today's times, because today's times it means like QAnon, but question everything, you know. And back then you weren't allowed to question everything because we had rulers, we had kings, we had religions.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
one. Yeah,
these so people quiet
religion burned this thing down.
Well, you know, that's where we're gonna get. That's where we're gonna get to. And so, what's so going.
Us? Let's get there.
Well, yeah, yeah. Well, so going forward, the one thing that Eratosthenes, shit, man. His big criticism of Aristotle's like viewpoint, which was like what a lot of Greeks thought at the time, was like, you know what they still had back then was slavery. And they saw different races as less. And here you have this library filled with like wonders of the world, the modern science before science, and they still didn't treat people right. They questioned the size of the universe, but they didn't question, you know, the fact that all humans were equal, whatever. So that was the eventual downfall, was that like, here you have the, you know, it's kind of like the equivalent of like the king's court figuring out science and like not telling people because they're just ruling. And so the craziest thing about Alexandria burning down is that there's, let me put this fact out there. They have no idea what this place looked like. There's no drawings. Nothing that survived. The only thing that really survived was like a cellar.
Survived was the second being
that had some stuff in
the library. I can't remember what the name of it is. It starts with an S, I remember. But there was the Library of Alexandria, and then there was like kind of an annex that existed because there was an overflow, but the annex still existed, still exists, but like where Alexandria, where the library was, might be underwater at this point.
And so there's no surviving accounts of the architecture other than this like one wing or room or whatever. We know it had lecture halls, classrooms, botanical gardens. We know they had a zoo, had dissecting rooms, had an astronomical observatory. So this thing was a giant university. And we don't even have a drawing of it. And so, you know, they studied everything. They studied the cosmos, and the Greek word cosmos is translated in the Greek as the word for I don't even fucking see what I wrote. It's like observation of the universe. Anyways, they fucking studied everything there. So the first account of it burning down is accredited to Julius Caesar, 48 BC. So this thing has existed for, you know, 240 years. Alexandria's got a big navy, army, big city, part of Egypt. Caesar's coming to take over Pompeii. And on his way there, he gets cut off by a fleet at Alexandria. And at some point, they're like, just burn all the boats. And they started burning the boats, and the boat fires spread to the library. So in 48 BC was the first time that it burned.
Pompey was one of the three people in the original triumvirate, and he and Julius Caesar were never like friends, but they were kind of in this like I don't know, they weren't friends, but they were in this like mutual, we're gonna be the rulers of Rome, of the Roman Empire, or I guess it was pre-Roman Empire of Rome at this time, and Pompey went to he was like in charge of the Roman territory that included Egypt, and so like when there was tumultuous, there was like a little I don't know how to put it for what it was, but it, you know, like he and Caesar were at odds, so I don't know if it was like a, it was Pompey was the
yeah, how do you say it? I keep saying Pompeii. That's not right.
And so it was like he was in charge of this land, but he wasn't like being obedient. So Caesar went to like kind of rule him back in, and they had like a little spat. And I think from what I heard was that like they knew that Caesar was coming, and they moved a lot of the books to try and protect them. So they moved them out of the library, and they moved them into a boat on the harbor, and a lot of them were lost because the boats in the harbor were set on fire. That's just one account. I'm not 100% sure, because no one's ever 100% sure when it comes to this.
Yeah, right. And so all we have are like, and these accounts are like written in letters to people. Like, you know, I don't want to compare it to the Bible, yeah. But yeah, like the Bible, I mean, it's like, hey, here's a letter to so-and-so. And like all of a sudden they're like worshiping this letter. The
ancient world is like, it seems so many cataclysmic events are tied to a small amount of people, you know, like history is a lot smaller back then, because only like 5 people in 1,000 years did anything, it sounds like, you know.
Okay.
Well, yeah, and like yeah. when you look at Alexandria, like this place was filled with people with different religious faiths. And so like and anytime you look into it, they're like, oh yeah, these I was reading somewhere that like these people like to fight. There were Jewish people there, there were Christians, there were pagans there. And so everyone, depending on
yeah.
your account of history, you have to look at what their belief was because they're blaming everybody else. And so like it's weird that here in my mind, this is the I've put this on such a pedestal and you know, like if you watch the original Cosmos series with Carl Sagan, he does like a whole bit about the Library of Alexandria and the downfall being like, you know, that like the select few were exploring knowledge, but it wasn't the masses of the world as a part of it. And so basically like the masses took part in burning it down because this was kind of part of the establishment that was holding them down. So after Julius Caesar, there's the second burning was only in this one writing from Edward Gibbons, the book or whatever is called the Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. And I don't actually know much about this. Because I'm supposed to have this page open and I don't. Oh, here we go. Basically, Theophilus was Patriarch of Alexandria from 385 to 412 AD. During his reign, the Temple of Serapis was converted into a Christian church, probably around 391 AD. And it's likely that many of the documents were destroyed then because the Christian church at this time was like, here we are 400 years AD. The Bible had been written for 300 years. And they're trying to get rid of texts that don't align with their beliefs. I heard that
explanation with the Muslim kind of influence into that area. But if you want to go back to what you were saying before, it always feels like someone's trying to blame someone else. And I feel like what I was hearing that from was kind of like, oh, we're Christians, let's blame Muslims for it. And it's like,
I think I
would blame Christians over Muslims any day.
Yeah. Well, that's. Yeah. Go ahead, Wade. I'm sorry. I was about to go off, but.
Yeah, well, no, so like I'm just kind of like skimming history as you guys are going through it, and the Muslim thing I don't think happened until 300 years later. Like the church thing happened, and then the Muslims, this Arab general, I will not even attempt this because there's no consonants, or no, there's no vowels in this name at all.
Oh, yeah.
The thing I have just says Caliph Omar.
Well, but yeah, so I have nothing to say.
The Caliph has been quote. So this is 640 AD when the Muslims took the city of Alexandria. The Caliph has been quoted as saying of the library's holdings, they will either contradict the Quran, in which case they're heresy, or they will agree with it. So we'll keep it basically. And so here we've got Caesar burning stuff on accident, on purpose, whatever. We've got the Christians coming in next, and then we've got the Muslims coming in. And all of these Muslim accounts
is like,
are probably written by Christians to vilify the Muslims. So we have three different burnings. And so I, from everything that I've read, it's crazy that we don't even know what the library looked like. We have three different accounts of it burning. And then it just makes me, my conclusions, which are, I'm very biased, you know. The first, I'm going to just bring this up real quick. It's a little sidestep. The Council of Nicaea was a council of Christian bishops from 325 AD. They got together and they said, hey, we want Christianity to be in charge of the world. And so let's pick the books that we're going to focus on to focus on our religion, because at this point Christianity was like contradicting itself. You had all these different versions everywhere. And so to me, I believe that the Council of Nicaea is where they said, hey, we want to rule the world. Let's pick these Christian books and let's get rid of everything else. And so I think that at this time, they went to the Library of Alexandria, took everything out, and made the only things that remained supported them. So I blame Christianity and them getting together to rule the world. And I don't know if anybody's ever brought this up. I'm making this up, but the timing works out to me to be like, you got the Vatican starting, you got Christianity starting, you got the biggest rulers in the world getting together to determine the religion of the world. You got to take down Alexandria.
I don't disagree. I don't know if there's any proof. I don't disagree. I know. I mean, for me, I think Christianity at this point was more of a tool to subjugate the masses than anything else. I think this was a good way to take away knowledge, to take away like the idea of thought, to kind of like put your faith in gods, kind of like, let's destroy knowledge and let's reiterate faith, whether it's like a conspiracy from the Roman emperors at the time, or if it was just, you know, the general mood of the people of the time is totally different.
It's weird that we're talking about this because I'm watching an Australian Survivor currently, and this guy, George, who's the best, he's the best and the worst. He's good TV, but he's not a good Survivor player, but he really thinks he is. And he kept praying to Macedonian Jesus. He just kept saying, like, Macedonian Jesus, please save me. And I was like, what the fuck is that? Like, what am I missing here? What is this Macedonian Jesus reference? And so I Googled it, and I think, like, the whole thing was that Jesus was actually an African, and story's all the same. It just kind of fits in with like what you guys are saying about like steering Christianity in a certain way. Like if they didn't like him being from, you know, they needed him to be from, you know, Jerusalem, the Middle East or whatever. It couldn't be like an African. And so they could like burn certain what's the word? Points of view to kind of eliminate that and like put him where they needed him to like continue their theology.
Yeah, yeah. And so here we have Constantine changing the belief to Christianity. You have them determining which books to use, and within this realm, they deny books. They deny Mary Magdalene's book. They deny Judas Iscariot's book. They deny I forget the name of the book, but it's got it talks about the Watchers. At any rate,
sorry, I mean, that's, you know,
all my shit's getting
Judas
all mixed
and
up.
Mary Magdalene wrote books.
They have books that were discovered within the past like 30 years. I'm an idiot and all my shit blends together, but I believe when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, they also found other books around that area that had, yeah, Mary Magdalene has a book that was not accepted and was hidden, but they found the book and translated it. And same with Judas. Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, both have God, I'm such a fucking slut. I'm just going to slut it up all day today. I'm going to fuck everyone.
Well, dude, that's the craziest thing is we all know Mary Magdalene as a slut. And there is a specific priest from the 1900s, early 1900s, that labeled her as that. She was never... There's nothing in the writings that say that she's a whore or a slut or anything. And he labeled her that. And everybody thinks that, like, and so I think that he did that to like take people away from the idea that, I mean, I do think that there are accounts that are real in this story.
Well,
I think Jesus was married.
I'm going to get crazy with my girl. That's the book of Mary Magdalene. We're gonna do so many fucking honey beer shots.
Oh, like, don't listen to her, guys. Don't listen to her. She's a slut and nothing she says is credible.
I've got
drink,
my
eyes. Drink
this shot out of my belly button. I'm gonna fuck him.
yeah. When was the first belly? What do you call it? Was it? They don't call them belly shots. What do they call them?
body shots. I don't know, that's weird to me. If someone I know becomes the next Jesus and I'm like in that story, and then 100 years later people are like,
oh, yeah, yeah, I mean that's what's weird is like,
I didn't write that shit. I don't have time to write a fucking book.
Well, all of the books, though. Okay, all of the books.
I could see that.
They call them
like
books.
Being
they're
like
just a collection of letters.
Yeah, being like the.
Like they didn't write a book. Like a diary, they wrote. Almost. They wrote.
Yeah.
So they're gonna scour because through my emails.
If Mary Magdalene was a prostitute, and I hear prostitute and not slut, prostitute.
yeah, it's prostitute, but like she was like, I'm not a prostitute, I'm a slut. I give it up for free.
Yeah. Oh man.
In these the books, if you read them.
Is there an audible?
So at the time though, when they made her a slut, I mean the thing is that like it came from a time when women didn't have rights, you know? And so like the last thing you want to do is say, hey, this thing that you believe in, well, she had just as much power as any guy. It's like, this is tailored to the belief system of the rule.
So I'm going to write the book of Mary Magdalene, and it's going to be all in the form of Tumblr blog posts. And it's going to be like, my body, my rules, I fuck who I want.
Hashtag no shame.
Yeah. So, but anyway, who burnt it down?
So here's a weird thing.
We got to the Muslims.
Here I am looking at the Council of Nicaea, which I always look at. One purpose of the council was to resolve disagreements arising from within the Church of Alexandria over the nature of the sun in his relationship to the Father. One of the biggest things that came from the Council of Nicaea was the fact that Jesus was the son, the trifecta, the son, the Holy Ghost, and the Father
for the cycle.
Yes, yes. And so, but this is coming from the Church of Alexandria. It's like in Alexandria, you had a big pagan presence and a Jewish presence. And so like here you have a big city where everybody disagrees on everything, but like what rules the city? They were allowed to have different.
Obviously, you'd think it was the Nicaea. What is it?
The Council of Nicaea.
So you think it was the Council of Nicaea?
I think that at this time, the Christians came in, took over the world, got rid of the ancient history of the world, and made the history their history.
Good theory. I would be on board with that. But what are some other
the theory that options? Like Caesar burnt down everything? Does the great men of history theory hypothesis or whatever you want to put out that is? I know historians are trying to get away from, but has been dominant of like, you know, there's like great men, like big names in history and like kind of all of world events.
Like what were you talking about earlier?
Caesar, like Alexander the Great, like
from this
like
area,
so many things of history are just attributed to them.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that's true, but if
I attribute that to like if you're a music journalist in the 70s, it was the easiest job in the world because there was like 10 bands. Yeah. And now if you're a music journalist, you're like, oh shit, I've got like a lot of stuff to cover here.
Oh, these guys sound like the Police, but they're really good. And like, I'm not going to even bring up the Police.
This guy's a little like Caesar. So I'll just say that he's Caesar because no one's really paying attention.
If Caesar Augustus, or sorry, Julius Caesar, not Caesar Augustus. Imagine if Julius Caesar accidentally burnt down Alexandria.
Accidentally.
There's like the accumulation of knowledge of books and everything up to that point. I don't think there's any way to recover from. So even if it existed for another 300 years, I think that it would just be a shell of its former self. So like everything after that point, it would just be, it would be like if you had like pristine first editions of everything, and then you just had like paperbacks and well, all the good stuff's gone, and so like it would be like
when you wrote the perfect email and then your computer froze.
It's not as good, and you send it out, so you're like, after you read that first email,
it's not as good, it never will be.
It's still in there. I think that's kind of what happened. Like,
it's fine. A lot of the stuff's still in there.
I mean, to me, that's the most valid thing, because if he did actually burn it down, let's say they knew he was coming, they put it all in the boats, and then he burned the boats on accident, not knowing the books were there.
Yeah.
After he took over the city, they wouldn't talk about the fact that the library wasn't as good. After he accidentally burned it down, we still got the library.
It's like, it's 10 years ago versus
the sad
now,
part
you
know, is
we have all the books or we have all the movies.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Yeah. Julius is in charge now. And we still got the library, but like most people in the city didn't go to the library. This is where scientists and scholars went. Like most of the city was fucking library, stupid. And this is why Aristotle made his comments. It's like there's Greeks, and he was talking about the rich people that knew how to read. And then there's barbarians. Most of the city were the religious people that would tell you what to believe without knowing how to read.
Yeah, I mean, he was being poetic about it. He wasn't saying like everyone's a fucking moron.
But
there are smart people and stupid people, and most people are stupid.
Of course, the Christians came in and like tried to destroy the rest of the Yeah, that's what they do. And then, of course, like
of course they did. That's what they do.
500 years after the Muslims took, But like, okay, the Muslims did whatever the Muslims did.
They blamed the Muslims 3 years later.
They did. Of course, the Europeans of the time were like, well, the Muslims came in and ruined everything. Because that's like the story of fucking Europe. It's just like blaming the Muslims for everything.
Yeah, or they did it again because they're like, well, this library has just been Muslim for like 300 years, so none of this makes any sense, you know? So let's burn it all.
So to me, man, because the Vatican has got like thousands of miles of books that are like unattainable to people, and there's accounts of them even hiding aliens, you know? Like the Vatican goes around and adds credibility to fantastic stories around the world. Hey, man, this crying Jesus is real. Did you guys hear about this Jesus that was like sweating? So people sort of like drinking the water from it. And it was actually like clogged toilets that were like dripping down the Jesus statue. And so people were like drinking toilet water and assuming that it was holy. And I'm just like, the control that the Vatican has started with the Council of Nicaea. That's when they started to try to control the world. And so this is all right, just leftover shit. There's no stories of the library burning down that are accurate. They tried to blame it on other people. This is them hiding the history of the world. Not to say that the history said like, oh, aliens showed up and that's why we're humans. It's nothing like that. It's just like they might have information of how humanity was created that doesn't work for Christianity.
Yeah, well, let me just say this. Who cares how humanity was created? Don't you think that everything that was lost in the fire?
No, not at all. I will say definitely not at all.
We've rediscovered. Because
there's, I feel, I that,
what? Why not? You don't think
maybe? But maybe
so,
that.
So
but,
this guy who's mapping the circumference of the Earth, and then we did that again.
Okay, like you in you the terms of like mathematics and stuff. Definitely.
2,000 years ago,
science. Yes, definitely. But in terms of like the histories that were lost, I think they had. You know how like. You go to a bookstore or a library today and you could just like, there's like thousands of books on the past 100 years that you could check out and that kind of stuff. But like, if you check out books based on like 500 years ago, it's either historians today having a retrospective, this is how we feel about things. And there's like very few like primary sources. I think there's hundreds of thousands of primary sources of the time that were lost and can never be retrieved during that time. I think like mathematically and like scientifically, like all that stuff, yes, right. we've rediscovered since then, but like kind of like the history aspect of things, the day-to-day books that we may have had, you know, that kind of stuff is lost for fucking ever.
Right. But I would argue that like even these books that are documenting the last 100 years, depending on what book you read, you can get different accounts of all of it. Right. And so like, even if these books were like,
today we have like,
can you believe any of
20
them?
Books on
and also
the past, you know, like 20 books based on this thing. We have 20 books on like the financial, you know, 100 books on the financial crisis, but the history of like the major events of the time, you know, we have like one or two books written thousands of years later, like, you know, like we don't have the firsthand account.
Right.
I feel like we as a society and we as a world just are very condescending about the the way ancient societies lived. I think yeah, USA 100%.
Yeah, right? No, you know, because we're way better, USA.
From a thing that I've heard and learned, you know,
I get what you're saying. Here's what you're saying. Can I put words into your mouth? It's like standing on the shoulders of giants. Like, if we could have learned more about history, we would be better as people trying to, like, be nice to other people.
Yeah, but learning, I don't even think we have to learn anything specifically. I think, like, just having the knowledge, like, having a chronological kind of, like, a clarification of, I think, I don't even think, like, moralistically or, like, anything like that we need to learn from the past. I think just having, like, an accurate account of what happened, you know, if there's like 1,000 books that, like, say, like, fill in the gaps, if there's, like, well, all these history books that fill in the gaps that kind of say, fuck you to the big man of, or to the men of history, to the giant men of history theory, that are just like, here are the day-to-day accounts of, like, the sheep herder of outside of Rome, you know, that kind of fill in those gaps that we have just lost. I think that the humanity that is lost is, like, a lot more than the actual, like, scientific knowledge or anything.
And my favorite parallel to what you're saying is, like, picture this sentence in 20 years. Yeah, you know, Trump was a good president, and then they stole the election and he lost. Like, I'm just like, that one, like, a one sentence of history is, like, all based on who's writing it. And
I guess my question is, who, like, what's the ramifications of that? A lot of this history stuff goes against, like, my belief of, like, oh, it's just, like, right now, it's the present, this is what is important. And so I'm not trying to be antagonistic. I just don't understand the value of history.
Well, yeah. Well, and so, like the sad part is that here we are 2,000 years ago, and a lot of the stuff that these that everybody was, like, learning in this boom of science, we had to unlearn and then relearn, you know, and only because everyone else was not questioning everything, you know, and it's just kind of like, this is a story of too bad that here we are. There's a few smart people trying to learn stuff, but then they have to deal with everybody else. And that's just always the way it's going to be. And so, like, how do we get out of taking knowledge and taking humanity and, like, trying to throw them together when there's always a perspective of what knowledge is? And it's like too bad that we have to listen to our rulers while we try to figure out,
to me,
what we're doing here.
Right. Yeah.
And so I don't buy any of these stories, you know, meaning, like, maybe Caesar did burn the whole thing down and they didn't want to say that he burned down the science of modern man.
It's like,
and so they changed the story.
Just to me, like, history is so important. If he burned down the whole, I think if everyone, well, because if we had,
right, validate it for me, because I don't know why.
I mean, history is obviously, like, it's very subjective. Sometimes there's a lot of, like,
I know it's a tough question.
You know, nations that, you know, we fought because of this and we fought because of this, and I'm right, but you're right. But I think, like, to understand where we are now, sometimes it's looking back at grievances that may be hundreds or thousands of years old, someone invaded someone's territory 1,000 years ago. And so it's this accumulation of like hatred based on something that doesn't matter all that much. I think that like, if we could analyze every perspective right. of something, we could have a better understanding of like why these nations hate each other over like grievances that are don't even matter anymore, you know, like how
I bet. Yeah, listen, that makes a lot of sense to me. The only problem is humans are tribal, and a lot of times that doesn't matter. You could present that argument to them. You could say like the only reason the Middle East hates America is because we've been in America since the fucking end of the Cold War, or in the Middle East since the end of the Cold War, and like, or even before that, since the 40s, since the end of World War II.
Well, the tribal motherfuckers don't give a shit because they don't know, like, they,
you know,
like,
they're just like, yeah. Oh, the Middle East attacked
they
us.
And us, like, we don't.
No, I'm talking about documented history. So the end of World War II, us and Russia, we battled over the Middle East. That blew back in our face by the fucking 9/11 happening. And then all these idiots who don't know the history say, well, they attacked us. They did 9/11. So we have to go over there and like fucking, you know, fucking regulate that shit. And you go, no, but we were there. They did that because we were there and they don't like us being there. But these fucking idiots.
But like
are
the Middle East is
like,
a prime example.
I'm not going to be 100%. It doesn't matter.
I don't know.
Yeah.
This is like this isn't like a 100% accurate thing, but okay, so you think these nations that are there in the Middle East now, they're there, a lot of them were there because that's what the colonial powers deemed them to be after decolonization, after World War II. How did the colonial powers get these possessions? Well, they got them after they took over the world after or that area after World War One, after the downfall of the Ottoman Empire. So the Ottoman Empire fell, the European powers divided up the Middle East for their own oil needs. Decolonization happened after World War Two. They created these nation states based on their own needs, not really thinking of like what the people in that area need, but just like, here's Iraq. This is the people. This is how we want Iraq to be. Here's a country now. Okay. There's three or four different Muslim factions that are claim this area as their own. We'll just do the one that likes us the most as the ones in charge. Before, you know, like the Ottoman Empire was like hundreds, yeah. I don't want to say like 1,000 years ago. It's like almost 1,000 because it was, you know, like the Ottoman Empire was the end of the second.
It almost was. It was a very long
Eastern
time.
Roman Empire. You know, it's like, like knowing all of these things,
and
then,
yeah,
it's
and
like,
they kept getting attacked
like,
and stuff.
Like,
right?
So many of the grievances are either super young or super old, and it's just like, guys, let's.
Right. So my point is, we know all that. And we look at it and we go, why are we doing this? Why are we doing any of this still? Like, this all comes back to the fall of the Ottoman Empire, but yet we're still fucking, there's still conflicts constantly. So I guess my whole thing is like, history does not save us. So I don't care about the Library of Alexandria. I did not think this is where I would land, According to everything that has happened, I feel like we're stupid and history doesn't save us. And I wish that it did.
After everything that I I hate the word research. I'm sorry. After everything that I've read and watched and whatever, like it makes me go like, man, I wouldn't be surprised if it never even burned down. And the whole thing was a facade to hide the information of the ancient society, just to rule how things should go after Christianity took over science.
Sure. And, that's the adage, right? The history is written by the winners. And so
And sadly, while all this boom of knowledge was happening, most of the world wasn't getting this anyways, not even in the city of Alexandria, where they had so many different beliefs in the city. Like, you know, these people weren't walking into the library learning anything. This is just a place where people could learn things. And, well, it's also because, you know, most people didn't.
It's because these dorks had social anxiety and they're like, I discovered this thing.
Do we really know what's going on in USC right now?
So if you want to know about it, read about it.
And if you want to come ask me about it, just read my book. Yeah.
Yeah. USC. Just, right. Listen, we're all kind of in agreement. It's my default position of who cares.
My thing is things
are happening. It's weird.
Here's
28 counts that are the accurate thing that was happening in Jerusalem at the time of Christ, and they're all burnt now. Wouldn't you like to have that knowledge of, like, oh, Jesus was just like a crazy guy on the street, you know, like wouldn't you just and it's like stuff like that. You're just like,
I mean, that was probably not a thing, but
that's an extreme example.
But here's the thing. But that's kind of what Willie was saying, like with the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Book of Mary Magdalene and Joseph or whatever. It's like, it doesn't matter. Even if these things are real, there's going to be so much power like forcing against them that people are going to write them off. You know, this is like, now it's a conspiracy theory that, like, oh, we found these things. And I feel like that's what it would be like if the Library of Alexandria never burnt down and we had all of these things. There would be just as many people who said, like, oh, that's all fake, because when Caesar took over, he like changed it all. And then the Muslims came in and like, I feel like we're all contrarian.
Okay, but what if
we all just want to fight? That's why I'm talking about tribalism and stuff. And it's just like,
what if the story of like,
yeah, history would be great.
You know, the great men of history theory, as I brought back to, where it's so weird that like the Julius Caesar that we all know was the one that destroyed Alexandra, the library that we all wish we had. Like, what if it was just like Brian on the boat, and he accidentally like was lighting a Greek cigarette and threw it on another boat, and all the books were there, and it just burned up. And then, like, in order to, Julius did this as a thing, but like,
Julius did this.
It's just like, oh, what if like this like minute thing that was just like an accident happened, and then we attribute it to like Julius Caesar or Alexander the Great, but then there's like these accurate accounts that were in the Library of Alexandria that have like,
I still think that the lights in your apartment would be purple and blue, and I still think that Willie would have zippers in his ear, and I would still be going, who cares?
This was a big eye-opener for me, because I've always put the Library of Alexandria on a pedestal. Now, on top of everything, we didn't even talk about this, because this had, but like, Alexandria had one of the best lighthouses in the world built outside of it. So like, just saying, like, this is one of the tallest buildings in the world at the time.
It was one of the wonders of the world, right? The lighthouse
to even get to this metropolis city. Yeah. But through everything that I've seen, the lighthouse was a wonder of the world. And I'm just depressed at how easy it is to change the history of humans from a perspective of whoever is ruling. And I after everything, it's easier for me to say Christianity fucked this up than somebody burned it down. And to me, the literal burning it down is just like erasing it from your mind because it doesn't fit in the storyline of who's in charge. And so in that same vein, picture the divide we have in America of Trumpers versus fucking libtards. And I'm just like, which history are the aliens going to accidentally read, you know, a libtard or a Trumper? And I'm just like, oh, it's too bad. It's too bad that we're so fucking dumb. It's too bad that we're so smart that like we just, it's just not going to work out for us. And so,
yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Man. Like, who cares what they read? Are libtards better than Trumpers? Like when we all fucking crumble as a society, does it matter what the aliens read? Like, we're done.
Right. You know what? There's this kid that has claws instead of hands, and he actually lived longer because after the internet went away, his crab claws could eat the things other people couldn't eat.
Really badly. I love this guy. Wait, let me pee real. Can I?
Well, let's wrap it up. Let's wrap it up. Can you hang on for like? No. Let's wrap it up. It'll take like 2 minutes.
I really gotta pee. Can I pee?
Say your final thoughts. I really gotta pee.
I'm sorry.
All right, fine. You go pee. We'll do off our final thoughts. No, it's fine. All right. So, Willie, obviously, you think that the Christians burned it down, but I feel like you just hate religion, and you know that's fine. But
well,
I guess what this episode sort of became, maybe I forced it into this. I didn't mean to, but like, do you really think we lost anything by burning the Library of Alexandria?
Well, you know, the craziest thing that I saw is this account of this 3-volume history of the world from a Babylonian priest, where the first volume of history started at the creation of the world and lasted to the Great Flood and lasted 432,000 years. I don't believe in the accounts from the Christians that like, but like this account was 100 times older than the Old Testament. And I'm just like, you know, the reason why I pay attention to the Bible is because there is a history in there. But there's also a perspective of that history. And so, you know, you think about cavemen starting to write stuff down. Why should you listen to whatever the first caveman wrote down? Because they probably didn't know whatever they said doesn't translate to us who have nouns and verbs, you know, like just saying that, like, whatever they wrote down is going to be hard for us to interpret. I have this, I put history on a pedestal that like there's a chance that we connected to the universe easier or paid attention more to what we're supposed to be doing. What if we had a purpose here and it was lost through time? Not to say that, you know, let's be glorifying existence to be because I'm afraid of death, and I understand that, but my fear is that what it is that ancient humans learn something that benefits us to know, forget about all your beliefs. What if there was one thing that they learned that would like benefit you to actually know? That's all lost in jargon and beliefs and control, and what it means to be human has nothing to do with nation states and anything that we believe in. And so that's my fear, is that we may have learned something as a species that is lost in our brains because we're so fucking smart.
I mean, I've already talked about the historical
aspect. Guys, any final thoughts?
How there's, I think we've lost a bunch of history because of it, but I don't think we've also, we also haven't really touched on like the several hundred years, maybe 1,000 years after the fall of Alexandria, of the Dark Ages, of this like kind of time where we lost all this knowledge and were reliant on religion. We're kind of the Europeans were a stagnant society for hundreds of years. We're like, you know, if that knowledge existed, if that, maybe we wouldn't have just been in this doldrum of religious, I don't know the word. If we wouldn't have just been this religious society for several hundred years in the Dark Ages, you know, if this scientific knowledge, if this historical knowledge was at the fingertips of the world, like maybe we'd be 500 years more advanced than we are now.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think that, like, here's what I think. I think that we, you know, like Choose Your Own Adventure books, you get to that page and you can just tell, like, fuck, I fucked up. I went the wrong way at some point. Like, it's definitely going to kill me right now. And then you read to the end, and it's like, yep, sure enough, I fucking fucked it up. I think we're kind of on that page right now. And, like, you know, then humans will be wiped away and the earth will survive and we'll hit the reset button. We'll start from page one again. We'll start reading this Choose Your Own Adventure book. And then maybe this time we don't burn down the Library of Alexandria. Maybe that was the first step to us being in this time where like the planet doesn't support us anymore. And to that, I just say, whoops. I guess we shouldn't have done that, but maybe next time we'll get it, and maybe next time we'll all be there if you believe in energy and reincarnation and stuff like that. And maybe we won't. Maybe we'll float off into the universe, or maybe just a black void. So I get it. You guys won me over. You're right. It is a fucking travesty that we did not build more on all this knowledge that we had. It set us back. So
yeah, it really doesn't matter.
As far as who did it, I don't think it matters.
It's just it
got done. You know? And
oh wow,
it was the Muslims. Trust me.
Oh, you changed. You pulled a 180 there. The Christians were the bad guys for most of this. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Guys, thank you for being here. Do you want to? Are you going to stick around and do the bonus episode? Okay, cool.
You got anything to plug? Where are you at out there?
Dave, guys, Willie's totally stepping on all my fucking shit. I was just about to ask, guys. Yeah,
I'll just say watch Big City Greens on the Disney
Channel. Shout out your socials or anything like that?
Yeah, I do that too.
Eat ice cream. Eat weird flavors of ice cream. And Willie, any plugs?
I will add on to that. Honestly, Big City Greens is like a fun, creative show for kids. And I think that most kids shows are very violent, and Big City Greens is fucking creative fun. For me, I would say go. Whatever, man. You've heard me. Go Google Googie. G-O-O-G-Y. Go watch Googie. Have a good day.
Okay, I got nothing. Thanks for listening. Go to our Patreon, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Get 2 bonus episodes, including the one we're about to continue with our good friend David Geis. And remember that just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you.
Wow. I didn't know Nirvana was the ending.
Yeah, it's true.